You hear me now? Okay. Well, I'm not going to start again. It'll take too much time. But last Sunday, Pastor Ian shared a very powerful word about having a different spirit. And it just resonated in me. I've been preparing for this word for some time, but it's always good when God confirms that word, isn't it? And he talked about having a different spirit, about having or living a consecrated life, about living a life of holiness. You see, without having a different spirit, it's impossible to produce the fruit of the spirit. Somehow we think we can get away with it, but unless our spirit changes, you know, apple trees can only produce apples. Pear trees can only produce pears. Our spirit needs to be different in order to produce the right spirit, the right fruit. And when we have a different spirit, I just thank God it's not influenced by, you know, things around us. It's not influenced by our situation, but it's influenced by who God is. Amen. And I just want to just touch on a few things this morning. As I say, I just want to follow up from where Pastor Ian left off last week. And if you like, it's part two. It's a much shorter part two, but it's a part two to what Pastor Ian was speaking about last week. And just to start by saying, when we have a different spirit, church, it will inevitably bring breakthrough. It can't avoid, but when our spirit is different, it will bring breakthrough. And it reminds me, you know, our lives is like an open book. You know, before we were born, God already planned our lives. Some of us have got longer books than others. That doesn't matter. What I do know is that God has a book for every one of us, and that is a perfect plan of redemption. And every day we have the opportunity of either turning over that page in the book we have, or staying where we are. And unfortunately, a lot of people are determined to stay on the same page. I don't know why, but, and I've been there myself, we all got situations and problems that we face, but we are determined to stay where we are. And you know, it's like living yesterday. God doesn't want us to live yesterday. He wants us to live today, doesn't he? He wants a new experience for us. He wants us to grow. And when we do that, church, when we live on yesterday's page, we will never fulfill God's purposes, God's destiny in our lives. Let me just say this from the outset. And 2018 is a year of new beginnings, a year of new beginnings. It's a year of an open door. And in the Hebraic year, it's 5778, 5778. Five in God's word is grace, God's grace. Seven is God's perfection, God's completeness. And eight is the year of new beginning. And I'm not big into the Hebraic teaching, but I believe it's part of God's word. And we can't ignore what it says in the Old Testament, because the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old revealed. We can't ignore the Old and just live off the New. But we are in a year, I believe, of new beginning. And you know, that year will continue until the 31st of December. But we have an opportunity today to make changes. I mean, it's incredible. We're always already in the middle of April. I mean, where's time gone? It's only like last week we were putting away the Christmas decoration. But we are in a year, church, of new beginnings. And I believe this new beginning is available for each one of us this morning. You see, God wants to challenge us. God wants to encourage us with a simple question. When do you a breakthrough begin? When does it begin? Does it begin when you're saved, or does it begin 50 years after you're saved, or when does your breakthrough begin? And this morning, it's so important that we ignore what I'm saying, but concentrate on what God is saying to you. We need to come into line, get our hearts ready for what God wants to do for you, what God wants to do in you, what God wants to do to you, and what God wants to do through you. You know, many of us, I'm sure, and I have done it many times, have prayed for a breakthrough in a situation that we face. But rarely, you know, does it happen as quickly as we would like it to happen. It's in God's timing, isn't it? A breakthrough is in God's timing. Well, what can we do, church, to change our mindset? What can we do to change this? And I believe one of the things we can do this morning, as I've already said, is to get our hearts in line with God, ready for God to do a work in us and through us. Unfortunately, you know, and it's sad when you talk to people, but they're afraid of change. They don't like doing things differently. They're more comfortable staying where they are, staying and living in the wilderness. But that's not God's plan for us, is it? That's not God's plan for us. Let me say this morning, right from the outset. It's not my job this morning, it's not my responsibility this morning to bring breakthrough in your life, or indeed the life of this church. That's not my role this morning. My role is just to be a channel for God to speak into, so that he can speak and identify situations in your life, circumstances in your life, that if you make the right decision this morning, it will impact the rest of your life. You are responsible for you, not the person sitting next to you, the person behind or in front of you. You are responsible to bring your own breakthrough. Now, if you want a title for what I'm going to say this morning, what I'm going to quickly share this morning, I guess you've already picked it up. BYOB. BYOB. Bring your own breakthrough. Bring your own breakthrough. Bring your own praise. Bring your own joy. You see, the Spirit of God is in this place, and I really sensed that when I came in this morning, and it's so encouraging. We didn't have a conversation, Becky and I, about what I was going to speak on, but when she selected those songs, I knew God was confirming to me what he already spoken to me about. The word this morning is so applicable to each and every one of us. But we have our own responsibility, church, to connect with God, to see and to experience our own breakthrough. Now, there are many scriptures that I could have picked this morning, I could have chosen this morning to illustrate what I believe God wants to say to us. But I have chosen for no other reason than God telling me was John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And there, I'm going to read it in a moment, but just let me quickly give you some background. There, we read about a man who was crippled and he was unable to walk. He needed a breakthrough in his life. It's an amazing story and should be a great encouragement to every one of us this morning. But you know, the first thing we need to do right now is to draw a line in our lives and say enough is enough. I can't do that for you. You've got to do that yourself. But we need to make an honest decision this morning before Father God and draw that line and say, God, I've had enough. I want you to come in. And I want you to be God again in my life. I just wonder, you know, if there's any one of us this morning that needs something significant from God in their lives. And if it's you, and I believe it's every one of us, then I believe you're in the right place at the right time. This morning is significant. This morning can be a Kairos moment for each and every one of us. And this story that we're going to read now in John 5 is the story where the man was in the right place at the right time. I mean, the Bible says he was doing it for 38 years. I mean, that's an incredible length of time, isn't it? To do the same thing day in, day out. But on this particular occasion, he was at the right place at the right time. And unknown to the man, of course, Jesus was passing by. And let this, I just want to turn quickly to the story, and I'm not going to apologize this morning, but I'm going to read from the Amplified and just put things into context where we are. And it says there in John 5, later there was a Jewish festival, and Jesus went to Jerusalem to attend the festival. Now there in Jerusalem, there was a pool near the Sheep Gate. And this pool in Hebrew is called Bethesda, having five porches, five alcoves, five colonnades, five doorways. And in these doorways lay a great number of sick people. Some were blind, some were crippled, some were paralyzed, some were shriveled up, some were gossipers, some were addicts, some were cynical. I could go on and on and on this morning. And eventually I probably hit all of you. They were in desperate need for change. And then in the Amplified and in the older versions, it continues with that verse 4, where it says there, for an angel of the Lord went down at the appointed season into the pool, and moved and stirred up the water. Whoever was there first, after the stirring of the water, they stepped into the pool and they were cured. Whatever disease they had, whatever they were afflicted with. And there was a certain man who had suffered with a deep-seated and lingering disorder for 38 years. When Jesus noticed him lying there helpless, knowing that he had already been there a long time, in that condition, he said to him, do you want to become well? Are you really in earnest about getting well? Do you want to be made well? And the invalid answered and said, sir, I have nobody to help me to move towards the water, to put me into the pool. While I am trying, others come and somebody else steps in ahead of me. And Jesus said to him, "Get up, rise up, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made well. He picked up his bed and he walked. As I say, in modern translations, there is no verse 4. They sort of leave it out for whatever reason. You can look at the New Living Translation and several others, but there is no verse 4. I just wonder what Jesus was thinking when he met the man. He'd been there a long time, hadn't he? Oh, it's no use bothering with this guy. You know, he's been there for 38 years. He's never going to change. He's always going to be like this. You know, I just don't understand why we just want to stay where we are, why we don't want to change. You know, many come to Jesus as they are, and I've got no issue with that. There's no other way we can come but as we are. But what I do have a problem with, church, are those people who desire never to change. This is how I am. This is how God made me, and I'm staying as I am. They believe they can come as they are and stay as they are. Now, I'm not quite sure what Bible they read in, but my Bible tells us when I accept Jesus into my life, I become a new creation. And the old things are gone, and the new things are new. And one of the biggest issues when we come to church is that we somehow believe that God can only deal with those things that we present to him. Those presentable parts, you know, those things that we can't avoid. We are what we are. But, you know, breakthrough comes, church, when we are willing to expose our whole life before God. That's when breakthrough comes. And we open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit. What did Jesus say to him? Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? And it's no different this morning, I believe. I believe God is able to speak to every one of us this morning. And he's saying to each and every one of us, would you like to change? Would you like to change the way you live? Would you like to get well? This is the place this morning I believe God has brought us to. This is the time when breakthrough can happen and will happen, but you have to make a choice. Yeah. I can't make it for you. We all have to make a choice whether or not we desire breakthrough. I don't know about you, but I find it very strange that people will come to church on a regular basis, but there is no desire, no intention whatsoever to change anything about themselves. This is how I am, this is how God made me, and that's how I'm going to stay. Every week we come to church, we listen to the preacher, and we are determined that we are not going to change. I guess we are more in favor of God changing our circumstances than God changing us. It's true, isn't it? God changed my circumstances, but we never ask God to change us. Oh, that is not on my agenda, God. I'm not changing. You made me as I am, and I'm not changing. But you know, many come with that resolution, that determination, that I am not going to change. And we stay like it. And then we wonder why we're in such a mess. Pastor Ian, last week, I think it was in the evening, Pastor, wasn't it, when you mentioned that you've started going to the gym 3 times a week, yeah? And the reason why he's going to the gym is to exercise. Not to go and just watch others exercise, but to exercise himself. That's why you go to the gym. And when you start to exercise, it starts to change your life, doesn't it? You become fitter, you become healthier, you change your diet, and so on and so forth. There is a purpose in what he's doing. He's going to the gym to exercise, to get fit, healthy, and well. And you know, coming to church is like going to the gym. But many of us, and I don't understand why, we just will not exercise. We will not worship God. We would rather prefer just to watch others worship God. That's a crazy place to be, isn't it? Because God wants a one-to-one relationship with each and every one of us. Every one of us this morning, church, has a condition, whether it's physical, whether it's spiritual, whether it's emotional, that we would like God to change. But somehow we hide it, don't we? We hide it. I was listening to a preacher only recently. He was saying that he took the opportunity to do some scientific research for his sermon. And so he went on Facebook. Now, I'm not on Facebook, so I can't say, but apparently that's what he decided to do. He wanted to do some research, so he said, I think I'll go on Facebook. And so he asked the question on Facebook, what area of your life would or do you need a breakthrough? And he said there was almost 100% response. 99% responded, and they responded about, well, my relationship, I need a breakthrough. My children, I need a breakthrough. My job, I need a breakthrough. My health, I need a breakthrough. But you know, the one thing that was missing from those responses was that I'm selfish. And you know, the season that we're in, church, I believe God needs to set us free from ourselves, from me. God needs to set me free from me. And it applies to every one of us this morning. You see, God is seeking a heart this morning that is ready for change. Why don't we just make a mark this morning? Why don't we identify an area this morning in our lives where something needs to change? You may have a few more marks. It doesn't matter. But at least have one mark. You can have a few. There's no problem. God can deal with whatever situation you bring to him. But the situation this morning starts with you. Doesn't start with anybody else. Doesn't start with the person sitting next to you or in front of you. It starts with you. The Bible says, create in me, God, a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Do you want to change this morning, church? And I'm not talking about your circumstances. It doesn't work like that. But do you want to change? And when you change, your circumstances change. Do you want to get well? Not do you want to feel better. Do you want to get well? There's a big difference, isn't there, between feeling better and being well. And so many folk, you know, they come to church, they feel better, but they never come with a desire to change anything about themselves. Unfortunately, many come to church for comfort, but they leave as miserable as when they came in, totally unchanged. Now in verse 4 that I talked about in John 5, I said that there was a verse missing in some of the modern translations. And that talked about the angel of the Lord coming down and stirring up the waters. And then the first person who was able to get into those waters after it was stirred would be healed. Sounds like a bit of a race, doesn't it? Huh? I mean, these were sick people. And yet, you know, it was the fittest amongst the sick people got in first. You know, many believe that it's the first in line will win. But you know, that's how religion works, isn't it? That's how religion works. It's the one with the most titles. It's the one with the most knowledge or the most money or you know, the highest church attendance. No. What works is God's grace. What works is God's grace. Because Jesus is the personified grace of God. And you know, we've read this morning about the story of the man at the pool in John 5 with the five porches. And 5 speaks to us of God's grace. Jesus was full of grace and of truth. You see, you may think you're the last in line this morning. You may think you're at the bottom of the pile. But let me say this to you this morning. Let me just encourage you this morning, church. The greater your circumstances, the greater your situation, the greater your opportunity. The greater your opportunity. You know what you need this morning. I don't know what you need. You don't know what I need. You know what you need. But let me just repeat what I've already said to you this morning. I believe we're all in the right place at the right time. We're all in the right place at the right time. When we read John 5, we read there that they waited every year for the angel to stir the water. And you know, it's no different today, is it? We come to church and we wait for God for a breakthrough. We're begging God for a breakthrough, but we don't do anything ourselves. You see, that is not the way it is, church. To receive from Father God this morning, we don't need to beg him. We don't need to go on our hands and knees. He's already bought everything that we need through his son, Jesus Christ. And I shouldn't need to convince you this morning. What I will say, that God has already planned your life. He's already decided. He's already declared to do a work in each and every one of us. It's already done. But we need just to tap into that plan that God has for us. You know, we often say in Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I know the thoughts I have and the plans I have for you. Thoughts and plans for your welfare and for your peace. Not for evil. Thoughts to give you hope and to give you a future. That's God's plans for us. But unless we tap into those plans, you know, we are not going to receive those plans. It's as simple as that. Now the man, you know, just quickly had reasons why he couldn't get healed. And the man said to Jesus, look, I can't get to the water, Jesus. But Jesus responded to him, didn't he? And he said, well, that's why I have come to you. That's why the water has come to you. And that's great news this morning, isn't it? Jesus is in the house this morning by his Holy Spirit. And God can deal with all our excuses. You see, God, has, through Jesus Christ, has given us the opportunity to receive not a part of our salvation, but our full salvation. And that's great news, isn't it? What Jesus did was a complete work. He didn't half do it, he completed it. And that completed work, that salvation, is for each and every one of us this morning. Oh, the man said, well, you know, I couldn't get to the water. No problem, said Jesus. That's why I've come to you. That's why the water has come to you. Jesus this morning is our living water. And we can come to him this morning and we can drink from the well. Amen. It's so important that this man's mentality changed. Because why? He was centered around other people. He'd been there for 38 years. And every year when an opportunity would rise, he would miss out. He tried to get in, but he said, I was kept out by others. Other people was blocking my breakthrough. And you know, the biggest problem today, church, is that we can be persuaded that we are an exception rather than the norm for God. God hasn't got any exceptions. We're all norm. We're all at a norm. And God loves every one of us this morning. But we have to respond, don't we? We have to come into that place where we ask God to do something in us and through us. And I'm going to quickly finish up this morning. But the big question I believe that God is asking each and every one of us this morning is whether we are waiting and expecting for God to come down, when I believe God is waiting for us to get up. Maybe through breakdown in your life, it's because of a situation. But if you change that situation, then you will be even determined to allow God to come in and to do something significant. You know, we need to stop blaming others, don't we? We need to say, God, change me. Change me. Don't change my circumstances. Change me. And when we are changed, our circumstances will change. And you know, that's my prayer this morning, church, that God will change me, change you. This is the place where breakthrough begins. It's not with them, God, it's with me. It's not with that person sitting next to me, God, it's with me. Spring up, O well, within my soul. My soul. Do a work in me, God, this morning, for I am ready. I am ready. I am waiting for you to do a work in me. I just wonder how many of us this morning are ready for change. Do we want to change? Do we want to change? Are we ready for a fresh work of reformation in our minds, in our spirits, in our souls? Are we ready for revival? Let me just encourage you. Let me encourage you this morning. BYOB. BYOB. Bring your own breakthrough. Bring your own breakthrough. You know, I believe the biggest obstacle this morning affecting every one of us is our unwillingness to believe what God says. And breakthrough begins when we get up. Breakthrough begins when we leave behind our excuses. Breakthrough starts when we do something very, very, very simple and yet very profound. And that's when we get up and we start to walk in faith. Amen. Yeah. I can ask the worship team if they would come back and just play a song for us. And I just want to challenge every one of us this morning. If God by his Spirit have hit something and resonated in your spirit, then we just need to respond to God. And we can do that in many different ways. We can raise our hand, we can stand where we are, or we can even come to the front. It doesn't matter, as long as we respond in whatever way we feel comfortable with this morning. Breakthrough begins, church, when we respond to God. When we do something we don't normally do. whether we get up this morning, whether we just leave behind those excuses that we always use, we start doing something quite profound this morning. And let's just start to walk in faith in Jesus' name. You see, you can't just leave it for God. God wants a response from us. It's a two-way thing. It's a relationship. And like that man, he was there for 38 years. I don't want to be in the same mess for 38 years. Do you? God says, I have come through Jesus. I have come that you might have life. And that you might have it more abundantly. I don't know what that sounds like, feels like. More abundant. You see, there's a tendency to limit God in our lives. But you can't limit God, can you? He's limitless. He's so powerful. There's no depth that you can go down where you reach the bottom. There's no height you can go up that reach the top. And that's where God wants to be this morning. So as we sing this worship song together, let's just respond in any way you feel comfortable with. Don't respond because of me. You know where you are in God this morning. But I believe we need to respond and say, God, I'm drawing a line. This is where I'm changing. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.